Welcome to Commentary Corner, with your host and former motorcycle racer, Gareth Keyes. In this week's episode, we discuss round one of the Ulster Superbike Championship, reviewing action on the track as well as some of the controversy surrounding the event. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Commentary Corner, episode 6. And today, we're going to talk about what happened yesterday at the first round of the Ulster Superbike Championship.
Yeah, down at Bishop's Court.
Yeah. don't think it really went to plan. Like, for the weather.
Yeah, bad weather for the first meet. Like,
yeah. I don't know. The club got a lot of slagging, and I don't really think they deserved it.
Yeah.
Because they worked hard on loads of people. Loads of people on Facebook complaining, oh, you don't run a race meeting in March. You know, who does that? And, you know, it's just, like, they've been racing in March, especially the beginning of March, from as long as I remember.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking up elapsed timing results from 2020. That's as far back as it goes.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I think. So, and they were racing then, 17th of March, 16th of March.
Yeah.
You know, and the club did very well. They did very well for all what they had to work with.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing as well. You can say, oh, why are you racing in March? Like, you know, everybody that's in Northern Ireland that's listening to this knows that if you do it next month, you know, if you start in the middle of April, it's just as likely to rain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, well, you only get like a two week streak maybe of decent weather in the whole year. And then the rest is just kind of rain here, sunny here, even during the summer. So you don't really get a guaranteed, like, yeah, this is going to be 100% perfect track conditions for this. So you just kind of need to roll with it, really.
Yeah. Another thing with people in this country, and I think everyone will back this up.
Yeah.
Is racing, we'll use racing as an example. Racing in March, it's too wet, it's too cold. Now, bear in mind, it was 8 degrees yesterday. That's tropical weather.
It's not too bad. Like, yeah.
Too cold, too wet in March. Too warm in July, August.
Yeah.
And then come the Sunflower, last meeting of the year, it's probably the same again. It's too cold. Maybe it's not usually wet, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's too cold. And, you know, there's no winning. And
yeah.
They've been racing in March, as I say, from far back, further back than 2020. I remember going to Nuts Corner for a close to club meeting, and it was snowing. And I think it was Paul Cranson, I think he won the 600 Super Sport race.
Yeah.
With snow on the side of the track. Probably there wasn't as much social media back then, but you never heard any complaints, and there was full grids, people were out, and
yeah. Well, you know, obviously, you know, it's not a sport for winter or wintery conditions, like,
no.
But you don't have a block of time that you can fit a season in Northern Ireland where you're not going to get crap weather either at the start or the end of it. And that's just really the reality of it. Obviously, it's not ideal, like, but, you know, crying about the weather because you've booked the date, the race on XYZ date. It's I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it than that, really, that you can just say, oh, well, you shouldn't have done it on that date because when we got there, it rained, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they knew that it was going to be bad weather that day. Sure, look at it today. This is Sunday. We were recording this and it's grand. It's sunny out.
Yeah.
You know, you could have easily been like this yesterday and there wouldn't have been an issue. So it's just kind of really a null point as far as complaining about that it rained in Northern Ireland.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's outside at the minute. It's 12 degrees. I'm actually sweating here at the minute.
Yeah.
I wanted to open a window, but it'll probably be too noisy.
Yeah.
You know, if they ran it today, there'd be no complaints. There'd be, oh, fantastic, well done. And
well, yeah, there'd be other complaints, like, but
oh,
there wouldn't be complaints about the weather, like, so.
Yeah, you can't keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the racing went absolutely 100%. Every race ran. Everyone was home by flipping 4 o'clock. And people were out in their bikinis and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there'd have been a complaint somewhere. And or someone would have been seen picking their nose.
Yeah.
You know, a clocker, of course, or found picking their nose. And they always make a different excuse for everything. Like,
yeah.
I think, especially in this day of age, I think we really have to back everything that the clubs are doing. Everything the MCA. We're all going to have different, our own say on what they're doing or what they're not doing. But the matter of fact is, road racing is disappearing. Short circuits now. Like, fair play. I've seen some posts on social media. And fair play, they're not wrong. Let me see. Like, the 650 result. But, like, the 650s, there was three.
There was 13 people in three classes or something like that. Was that what I'd seen?
Yeah. Three different, yeah. So there we go. There's the 600, the pre-injection class had to go out with the Super Twins.
Yeah.
Now, the Super Twins and Production Twins go out together anyway. But for the sake of this, we'll just say it's Super Twins. And the pre-injection, their pre-injunction. We don't want a pre-injunction. The pre-injection class.
Pre-injection, yeah.
Goes out with the Super Twins. Three Super Twins.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, is it going to be like that though? Because obviously there was that licensing day yesterday that's been on the, that was put on the same date, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's another stupid
somebody idea. You know, yeah, I don't know what date was locked in by who first, but somebody somewhere has made an oversight there where people are having to go down, was it
Mandela Park?
People are having to go down to Mandela for the licensing thing. And then, you know, you can't be at that race, mate, basically, because of that.
And there was so many newcomers. They were fuming because they had...
Oh, you're missing out. Yeah, you're missing out in the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, wanted to go to Bishopsport, don't even have my license yet. And it doesn't matter if I want to go and watch it anyway, because I have to be at my newcomers
event. Yeah.
There was pro racers showing the newcomers around at Mandela Park.
Yeah.
That... could have and probably should have been at Bishop's Court.
Yeah, so you know. Yeah, so the point of that is what we're saying is, you know, people are saying about the numbers, but that has made it look worse than what it actually is. Like, if that wasn't happening on the same day, you know, there's probably going to be a few extra people in each class, and over the whole, it would have, you know, bulked it up probably a good bit. Like,
yeah, and it would have been far. It was good racing, but it would have been far better racing.
Yeah, and with a bigger grid. Like,
what I heard at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of the year, was the MCA Southern Centre and MCA Ulster Centre were, you know, they were making headway. They were working together, whatever. And that just doesn't seem to be the case at the minute.
Yeah, well,
especially if you're clashing race meetings.
I would say it's probably more likely that it's just... poor communication more than it being done to, you know, done to so that the events actually clash.
I know, but
that should be pretty straightforward, that there's a calendar of events and it's shared across no matter what event, whatever organization is, you know, working across the race, and that everybody knows what everybody else is doing. So you aren't doing races on the same day or doing licensing on the same day, because, you know, that's just, it's silly. Nuts.
I have
for the very first round as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good start.
Yeah, a bit of a false start. Like, but.
Like, I haven't looked into it, but I also heard yesterday that the Mandela Masters are running this year, which is fantastic. They've sorted themselves out with insurance. But... I heard yesterday, I should have looked this up, but two of their rounds are clashing with the Ulster Centre rounds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to, it's annoying me.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about it. But yeah, the stick the club got on Bishop's Court got I don't know. It's not all just a failure.
Yeah, but, you know, once a few kind of key people start saying, you know, that it was crap or it was a disaster or whatever they've said, everybody else who, like the spectators and everything, all jump in then.
Jump on the
bandwagon. And it makes it 10 times worse.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know.
To be fair, I spoke to Corey McGreevy yesterday morning. His brother, Kia.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out. Corey went and said, show him the photographs and show me the photographs of the track. To be fair, the track was green. We'll show you on the screen, hopefully, if we can get the photograph
up.
I'll
put it up somewhere.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't bode well for the first race of the year. It was near like an oversight, like it was forgot about. Fair enough. It takes a lot to run a circuit. And I think there was some weed killer or something, some like red label or something, let's say. And it was to be put down every month. I don't know. I don't run a track. I don't maintain a track. So, and then with the rain, the qualifying was dry. And then it started raining. And I think that just made it 10 times worse. But, yeah, a lot of the riders didn't want to go out first thing. Before it even started raining. Because of the state of the track.
Yeah, everybody's seen the pictures of the track. Like, yeah.
You know, I was thinking to myself, I don't know. Okay, it doesn't look bad. But have you ever raced a killer lane? Or Skerries?
Yeah. You know,
there's grass growing up the middle of the track.
Yeah, well, there shouldn't be grass on the track in them places either, you know.
Killer lane, there's a tree in the middle of the track. And you can go either way around it. You can go, you know, depending on your preference. But
yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't know. What are you paying £150 for an entry there? And then you're showing up in the tracks essentially in a dangerous condition. Like, so I understand why people are annoyed. But
yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. And there's the short circuit riders, you know, they expect the best. Any rider would expect the best, you say, for, because the entry fees did go up. I think they are 100.
I'm pretty sure it was 150.
£150 for an entry fee.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we started, I think it was 40 quid.
Yeah.
40 quid for an entry. But, yeah. And then the MCA, there's rumours going about that they didn't have insurance for the beginning of the year. And that was, I laugh because the marshals and scrutineers, they held their hands up and went, nope, we aren't scrutineering any machines until we see proof, because they heard a rumour, which turned out not to be true. Because they did have
insurance. As they often are on true, like.
Yeah, so turned out they did have insurance. Everything was dead on.
It was all just normal.
Yeah, I think it was just there was no proof.
Right.
It was, nobody had a sheet of paper
to say. The actual insurance coverage company, or whatever.
And the thing about the lack of 650s, Super Twins, at the event, sitting last night, and I was like, you know, I was actually looking at these sheets and I was thinking, flip sake, you know, the entry was poor, but they had the grids filled. And I was flicking through social media, Facebook, Twitter, and there was riders complaining that, oh, this is a joke. There's three Super Twins out. This is an absolute joke for the beginning of the year. You're supposed to be so much for supporting our sport and all this.
Right, yeah.
Them riders that were putting that on Facebook, or team owners or whatever, they own Super Twins. They own race bikes.
Yeah.
And they weren't there to support, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you want there to be a championship that has good numbers and you want to show up and have a good grid and competitive races, you have to actually take part on the day.
That's a good start. You know,
it's all right talking shit after the event and saying, oh, look at the state of this. And it's like, well, what are you doing? Like, you haven't bothered going to the first round of the championship. So it's not really, you know, if you were playing any other sport, would you not show up to the first match of the season? Like, you know,
I don't know.
You're playing rugby, like, in just the first game of the season, you just don't show up. Like, no, it doesn't happen. Like, but people just pick and choose whatever suits them and then jumping on Facebook after they've had a few tins that night and trying to rip the club and everything, everybody else a new asshole over something that they're hearing secondhand anyway because they weren't there.
And then other people are hearing that. It's just, I don't know. A lot of it's a load of shit.
Yeah. And bad comments like that build momentum very, very easily. Like, and you end up with like second or third hand information, and then that person's now writing about it saying it was a disaster or this, it wasn't good because of this and this and this. And they weren't there and they've just literally seen something and they're parroting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people love jumping on negativity. But anyway, enough about addressing the complaints. This is going to turn into just a whole negative
thing.
This
could just end up, I know.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
But anyway, so.
Right. So
tell us about yesterday. You're in doing a bit of commentating, so
yeah,
let's hear it.
Qualifying went well, was dry, and seen it before. I was actually surprised. I seen Jeremy McWilliams.
Yeah,
so he flew in Friday. I think he was away in Spain somewhere testing with KTM, and he's an ambassador for him, you see, so he does a lot of testing and stuff. Flew in, raced at Bishop's Court. I think he's going back out this week or next week to finish whatever he was doing, some promotion thing for KTM. It's great to see him there. He was riding for JMC Roofing, Jason McCaw.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed not to see Andy Reid. Andy Reid was meant to be there. He's riding for him this year.
Yeah.
But turns out he's on holiday.
Right, yeah.
Which probably is probably not the worst thing. Like.
Yeah.
So he missed all the bad weather and the excitement.
Yeah.
And, so JMC had Jeremy Williams and Dean McMaster there. They started off okay, I think.
Yeah.
They were having some teasing problems and then we didn't really get to see what way they could go.
Yeah.
Because they only got one race each. So
right,
I was expecting a wee bit more from them, but we'll just run down the qualifying sessions here. Now, the Moto 1 class, they only got their qualifying session. So many newcomers. Fair play, the club.
Yeah.
They did newcomer laps. So many newcomers.
That's good.
But I couldn't read half the bloody names that were coming up on the screen. So we have Isaac Mark. Right, this is from pole to 14. Right, 14 riders, right? Isaac Mark, Finn Stevens, but it's F-I-O-N-N. That's Finn, isn't it?
Yeah,
Finn Stevens, Alfie Flynn, Buster Sherman Boyd. Now, his brother races too, and he's bloody fast.
Yeah.
Both of them. Oh my word, they are super fast. Simon Woolsey is RJ Woolsey's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very good.
And he's a spitting image.
Oh
my god, yeah. He is this fucking spitting ringer for him.
Want to really take up the singing as well.
If he's anything like his dad, I hope not.
Yeah.
But Matthew Curry, Kristen Boyles, Hubert Tomaszewski. He was riding one of the Tonda bikes.
Yeah.
Rory Creith, Keir Cahoon.
Yeah.
Mantis Suksdinas.
Suksdinas. I don't know. It's very difficult to pronounce. It's a Polish surname, so it's Z's and K's. But sorry if I got your name wrong. But
yeah, I apologized so many times yesterday. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know if you heard, but I did.
That's harder. Yeah.
Harley Smith, William McLean, and Joy Hennessy.
Yeah.
So that was the order they qualified in. And Team Wood Academy. A lot of them are coming from there, and they're like bringing up. They would sponsor a bike. They would sponsor leathers. They would help with tires and stuff, you know. A wee bit of coaching. Mark Sandlin, he sort of runs the show.
Yeah, that's good. Like,
yeah. as kids, they do need something. And I didn't have any of that whenever I was.
No, there wasn't such a thing. Like,
no.
So, yeah, that's good.
So, right, on to the program had to be changed. The lightweight super sport name was qualifying first. Let me see. Now, we'll put the race there. So, qualifying, Daryl Tweed. Good to see Daryl out. He's going to European Road Racing Championships.
Oh, very good, yep.
This year. So, Daryl Tweed.
How did he get on?
Pole. Took pole from Graham McAleese, who was having big issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Watson then in third. But Reuben Sherman Boyd, which is Buster's brother,
right,
older brother, he was riding. I thought this was phenomenal. He was riding a Kawasaki 400,
mm-hmm.
which is not the same Kawasaki 400 Supersport bike.
Yeah,
as what these boys are running. So mm-hmm. Reuben is in his own class, which is actually a Supersport 300 class.
Yeah,
his bike, it's basically a pizza delivery bike. It's a wee putt-putt.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Right, right.
It's a wee putt-putt machine that goes around Lisburn delivering dominoes, you know.
Yeah.
And they change them into a race bike. It's great for the kids up and coming. They are, well, suppose they're not that slow. Me jumping off a superbike onto one lane, it wouldn't move so quick.
Yeah.
But
aye, but you're not talking like,
no,
a Aprilia class kind of carry on, are you?
No. Like, no, definitely not. Like, the 400s here with the Tweeds riding and McAleese and Watson, they're on par with, you know, the RTZ 350.
Yeah.
Or like a 250 Grand Prix bike. Or
yeah.
A wee bit slower. But Ruben, he was third overall.
On the slower bike?
On the wee pizza delivery bike. And I couldn't believe it. And he was even faster than the Grand Prix machines. These are Moto 3 machines.
Yeah.
And there's only two of them, Harry Fraes and Robert O'Neill. And he was faster. Let's see, qualifying, Ruben done a 123.
Yeah.
Harry Fraes done a 124 in qualifying.
Is this his first year?
Ruben?
Uh-huh.
No, I think this is his. This will be his second year, I think.
Second year.
Yeah. That's in the point. Race, now, Alexander Roan, he was a latecomer. He didn't get qualifying, but he went out in the race, now, maybe.
Yeah.
He won the Moto 3.
Mm-hmm.
His best time was a 128. Ruben's best time was a 127.
Yeah.
So, nearly a second quicker than a Moto GP machine.
Yeah.
Unreal. On a pizza delivery bike.
Ah, he's pushing it, like.
Oh, flips. Unreal. And then with the classics, we'll run through them all, will we?
Well, I might. Well, yeah, go on ahead.
We'll just run through
them. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll just see. We'll run through the names.
Aye. Anybody that jumps out at you.
Right. Andy Kildare, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And Ian Thompson, they're the 1000cc class.
Yep.
Malcolm Love, Philip Shaw, John Dixon, Simon Woolsey. Again, RJ's son.
Yeah.
And Gavin Duffy on mm-hmm. the 250s. Nigel Moore, legend.
Yeah.
Absolute legend. He's been racing for 200 years. And he still looks like he's in his 40s. And he rides like he's in his 40s.
Yeah, good man.
So he qualified pole on the 350. Nigel Moore, Mark Johnson, Linton Irwin, Mark Cohen, and Eddie Gilmore. And what else do I have? The 500s. RJ Woolsey.
Mm-hmm.
Very pleasantly surprised to see RJ Woolsey at the track.
Yeah.
So, I was actually looking for him after seeing Simon. I was like, I wonder if RJ is here. And I seen him out in track. And I was
did you get chatting him, did you?
Fair play. No, I didn't. I had to rush off.
But yeah.
I just grabbed his arm and asked him how he was doing and scuffled all off.
Yeah.
Sean Leonard, Andy Farrell, who retired but didn't retire. Andy Farrell, he's like a Manx winner, Grand Prix. Yeah. He's a good goer, like, absolute head case, but he can ride a bike.
Yeah.
So Andy Farrell was out in the classic machines. He always puts on Facebook. I didn't officially retire. He just stopped racing the Manx.
Yeah.
But when he stopped racing the Manx, he sort of fared off all the other roads.
Mm-hmm.
he sort of disappeared for a while there, but seen him out yesterday, which was good. And Phil Lunny. So that was the qualifying order. Yeah, the racing is more or less the same.
Who was the standout rider of the day for you then?
What do you mean, the whole day?
The whole day, yeah. Who stands out as a performance, if they were the best or unexpectedly good or...
Unexpectedly.
Well, maybe not unexpectedly good, because that makes it sound like you thought that they were shit, but somebody who had a really good performance.
See, to be fair, that I thought... Someone who I thought was going to be shit. And they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And was Mark Haight.
Well, apologies in advance, Mark. God, I thought you were going to be shit.
Yeah.
How did
don't
he
apologize
work?
To him.
How did he work out?
He, let me see here. Where is he? I'll tell you how it worked out. He went to collect a trophy.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't given it. Because they organized... Now, Mark Haight is a newcomer.
Yeah.
And he takes dents out of cars for a living. So he would be in my workplace the odd time taking dents out of sales cars and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's talked for years about starting to go racing. Mm-hmm. He always came to me for advice. And I always give him, yep, best bike to go for starting up. You know, take it easy. Go get your license. This is what you have to do. Medical, eye test, all that crap. And he goes, right, I'm going down. And he spoke like this for years. And he said to me, I met him at the Apple Green, going to work.
Yeah.
And he asked him what's the crack. And he says, oh, I'm going to start racing. I was thinking, well, the flag seminar is in like next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need your medical before you do that,
do you?
And you have to do your... The newcomer thing and all, the 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And get your medical and all that there crap and then sign off for your license. And he said, all right. And he didn't look like he had a clue.
Oh, that he had to do all
that? He had to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't going to happen. It was like previous years. And I said to him, see if you're stuck, give me a call. Give me a wee shout and I'll help you out.
Yeah, yeah.
Never heard of him. Never heard from him. Never.
I see. Whatever. Assumed that he hadn't done anything then.
So yeah. I forgot about him, right? I was talking to Corey McGreevy yesterday, and this fella walked past in leathers and carrying his helmet. But he was wearing a hat and he was like, double take. That's not, no, it wasn't. And he turned around and came back and he was like, no way.
Yeah.
You actually done it.
Yeah.
Fair play, big man. Fair play. So anyway, went along with business, and where is he here? So the qualifying, he's in, because he's a newcomer, he's riding a BMW 1000RR.
Yeah.
220 to 240 brake horsepower.
Right, yeah.
For a newcomer, the first time racing. And I thought, no, this isn't really on. I couldn't believe it was him. Where's qualifying? Too much paperwork here now.
You switched them over. I think that's the qualifying you've got now.
Yeah, qualifying. Qualified 12th. Not even for the Superbike Cup.
Yeah.
He qualified 2nd in the Superbike Cup, mm-hmm. just behind Ronan Waters. But he qualified 12th overall then. So that bumped him up into the Superbike Pro.
Right, yeah.
So he was able to race with pros. 12th in the grid, I thought, what?
Yeah.
First time there. He was the only one there wearing a bloody bib. I think, is he? Yeah.
He's the only first timer. Yeah.
Only newcomer in the Superbike class. 12th place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finished. Where did he finish? 6th. Yeah. In the Superbike race. Finished 6th. Absolutely unbelievable, Jeff. Like.
Many was on the grid there for that.
15.
Yeah, that's solid. Like for your
18 all
together. First ever race, mate. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
There was 3 riders didn't finish, and 18 started. But he was laying 5th. He was in front of Stephen McAdoo, and he was chasing down Ryan Gibson. Now, Ryan Gibson is a seasoned rider. Ryan Gibson qualified pole for the Superbikes. And he was chasing down Ryan Gibson and Steve McAdoo just behind him. And I thought Mark was tearing off a wee bit because it's not easy wrestling one of them machines around Bishop's Court. But it turns out he crossed the line, took the checkered flag, put his hand up, and he was like, what are you doing, Mark?
Yeah.
Turns out he ran out of fuel and it was spluttering the last lap.
Oh, yeah.
So Steve McAdoo got him. I thought he might have made a mistake or something, but Alan Kenny was actually chasing him down as well. So, but fair play for finishing sixth there. Like, unbelievable, Mark. Definitely one to look out for the future.
100%. Like, if you're improving from there, you know.
Oh, I had goosebumps. You'd
be doing very well later in the year. Like,
I'm not joking. I had goosebumps coming out of my goosebumps. I haven't seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And he was coming out of Dunsfort's, the top corner, on the start and finish straight, and just tying this beast in knots. And he was like, that's second, nipping third gear.
Yeah.
And the thing's absolutely sideways. And he's been on the bike twice.
Yeah.
And once was wet.
Fair play to him. What age is the fella? Is he a young guy? Like,
he's same age as me. No, he's only a pup.
I see, mate. Oh, fair play to him. Like, take it, he rides bike on the roads, like, does he?
No.
He's never ridden a bike on the road.
No.
I thought, well, fucking hell.
He's done, I think he done, talking to him, I think he's done maybe a handful of track days on an old Fireblade. But that was it.
Yeah, fair play to him, like.
And he's went out to do
been
that.
Been very competitive there.
Fucking right.
Did you get chatting to him after?
I did, he was very excited.
Like, he was
fucking buzzing, he couldn't believe it.
That's good. Yeah.
And I was talking to him last night, just over Facebook, and he says, you told me to go and get my trophies and all, and my medals for winning the cup class.
Right, yeah.
And he says, well, did you get them? He says, no, they gave them to whoever was just behind me. I didn't get any.
It was a mix-up then, was there?
The organisers didn't think of looking that far up the timesheet for his name because he was a newcomer.
So they saw somebody else, like...
They just seen...
I was like, oh, well, he's...
Because there was five cup riders in a row.
Yeah.
So they picked the top one from the five at the bottom of the pro class. But he was ahead of so many actual Superbike pro riders.
So they just assumed that it's just that you're automatically in the bottom five? Well, whoever was doing it at the time assumed that they'd just be the bottom ones?
Most of the time, the cup riders sort of stick together.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like a wee clump of crazy people.
Fighting amongst themselves for position, like.
Elbowing and headbutting each other. Yeah. It's like Street Fighter back in the day. Road Rash?
I feel like if it was Road Rash, was it?
I think it was.
This is like a game on the Sega or something. And you could whack each other with wee... baseball bats and stuff off of the side. But anyway,
that's what the cup riders
That's a bit disappointing. Like, he didn't get his medals and all that. He'd be buzzing to get back out again for the next week.
Absolutely. Yeah. He went back and he did get his medals in the end. But I think there was people that got medals that shouldn't have got medals because they didn't seem to think, I'm going to look up in the top five or sixth place here for a newcomer in the Superbike class.
You take what you can get, like, even if you weren't supposed to get a medal, I'd be taking it home. So.
And there was a good flipping, a very good grid of Superbikes, 25.
Yeah.
Like, there was 25 of them. He beat, where is it? I've lost him again. There you go. But he did. He beat a hell of a lot of them. Even Kyle Cross and all. Kyle Cross was having issues. He's another Lisburn man.
Yeah.
He was having issues with his machine. There was just people in and out flying. First race of the year.
Yeah.
You expect that because, you know, the bikes aren't going to be perfect. They've been lying over all
the time. And you haven't been on the bike much, probably, if at all. In a long time, so.
A wee bit rusty. There was a lot of riders only back from Spain, testing.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Martin and his brother, I think Ross. And his dad, Phil.
Yeah.
Kyle works with me. And he says, back from Spain, it was brilliant. And blah, blah, blah. You go to Spain, the tracks are like billiard boards. Bone dry, nice and warm. I think it was like 18, 20 18 to 23 degrees or something between there. And then they're coming to Bishop's Court or Curzon. And it's usually cold or wet or, you know, throughout the whole bloody season.
Yeah, I think the whole tested in Spain things, it's more of a fucking excuse for a holiday. It's more than anything, a holiday, isn't it? Because exactly. If you actually set your bike up for what's happening out there, you know, it's nothing like either our track conditions or the weather conditions. Yeah. So it's more just a fucking holiday.
It's not like testing. Like if you're a Formula One team or MotoGP or World Superbikes, that's testing for them.
Yeah.
You know, if I was
you're gonna at least be in similar conditions when you're racing. Like
if I was going out there, it would be purely for the experience.
It is just because you want to do it. Like it's, you know,
it doesn't help.
You're not fine. Yeah, you're not fucking fine tuning your bike.
No.
In those conditions, and then you know. You bring it back here and it's like, oh, he's got the best tuned bike because he's been in Spain. Yeah. No.
You have the thing.
Do it anyway, but...
Yeah. You've ramped up as hard as you can get the suspension.
Yeah.
And everything, the tires and all or whatever. And then you come here and you're... The teeth shaking
out. There's speed ramps in the fucking track.
But anyway, yeah. Up until, let me see, the 650. 650 race was good.
Uh-huh.
Even though there was only three of them in it. But there's Trevor Elliott.
Well, were they tied together?
The words.
Yeah, they would need to be. That would be very dull.
Sort of, the beginning of the race was okay, but Chris Nelken, oh my word.
What?
Fairways 1 and 2, really, really fast. Let me see, left-hander, and you're yanking it to the right, and a wee bit of a straight, but you can in the dry, on a 600, Super Twin, whatever, you can take it flat out, and Superbike you roll off, and short shift coming out of it, but Super Twins absolutely flat out through it, and the first lap of the Super Twin race, Jesus Christ, Corey McGravy was leading, Chris Nelken just in behind him, and I thought, this is going to be a good race.
Yeah.
There's nothing as bad as commentating on something, obviously, that is really shit. Everything's, you know, oh, there's Corey McGravy.
Or if somebody's like a mile out and a half ahead of everybody.
Yeah, they're just pissing off. Oh, it's a nightmare. Or if there's only three of them in it. But anyway, I thought this is going to be a good race. Chris Nelken nearly sent it to the moon.
Yeah.
Nearly sent it to the moon. Oh my word. Like about 130, obviously, that's when it started getting a wee bit too dangerous, I think.
Did his ass come off the seat,
My ass came off the fucking seat for him. I'm not joking, I had to change my knickers, never mind his own.
Yeah.
And he was it was so fast. It happened like that, and he just held it, kept my head down. But I think it gave him a wee... Gave him that too much of a shock to the system sort of thing, and he had to tail it back. And Trevor Elliott... riding a pre-97 bike, or pre-injection 600. It's a real old tank of a thing you have to hold on. Trevor used to race a few years ago when I raced, but it's good to see him back out because he sort of took a step back from it.
Yeah.
Trevor overtook Chris Nelken on the last lap on that aisle 600 thing, and ended up with second on the road just behind Corey McGreevy. So Trevor Elliott, that was one stood out for me.
Yeah,
a good bit. Another one was Daniel Matheson.
Right,
Daniel Matheson.
Matheson, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was a cup rider last year, and he was riding a 600 on a superbike, and absolute rocket. Where was he in the 600? He finished second in the 600 race. That's qualifying. He qualified second. And he could have won it.
Yeah.
Because Corey... That's when shit hit the fan, really. Because Corey fell off.
Yeah.
At Ringawati. As you know, track conditions wasn't the best. Anyway. But with the rain hammering down. And Corey came off. Massive high side. We have another photo of that as well. Massive high side.
Yeah.
And He was hurt. He was just lying there. And of course me, I seen the whole thing.
Oh, was he actually hurt? I didn't know that. I thought he just came off and slid or something like
that. No, he lay there. And obviously me, I seen the whole thing. And I you can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be, oh, Corey McGreevy, massive crash, blah, 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 live over.
Do you not say anything?
No, I just go, we have a red flag situation.
Yeah, that is actually the way it always sounds when you're at a race. Like, it's somebody just holding their nose talking like,
we have a red flag situation here.
Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, it's that small anyway that everybody would have known it was Corey. Like,
Well, the next bike round was Andrew Smith.
Yeah.
But Daniel Mavson was behind him, and I think it gave him a wee bit of a shock. And the next bike round then was Andrew Smith. And everyone knew then it was Corey, but you can't say anything in case they are hurt.
Right, the that's only, what it is then. Yeah, you don't want to be. Yeah.
The only time I say something is if the rider's up and okay.
Yeah, if they've just slid off. Like.
Yeah, so they called the medics. The marshals, the marshals were busy yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Running. All you see, it was just fields of orange everywhere.
Yeah.
The marshals gathered the bike up and went to him, called the medics. And to be fair, once they called the medics, I think he heard this and went, nope. You know, the last thing he wants to be checked over as a rider, to be brought to hospital and everything.
Ah, yeah.
You know, broke my leg, I'll deal with it in a couple of days' time. Yeah. Sort of thing, you know. But no, he got up and he walked away.
He was all right.
He was dead on, walked through the paddock. A bit of a limp on him. I think he walks with a limp anyway. Pimp with a limp.
Yeah. he's all right, though, is he?
He's dead on, 100%. Yeah. But he came up. At that stage, the clerk of the course, who was actually Mark Sandlund, can I also put that out there? Because there was people that were getting confused.
Pointing the finger.
They were pointing the finger at
the wrong guy.
At someone who they thought was the clerk of the course and wasn't listening to them.
Right.
But they were talking to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And then also putting it on social media.
That
about this person. But they
how were, do you make up a mistake? Like, you just assume?
They just assume.
Just assume. That just assume. Such as the
clerk. He was in the club and he's very high up in the club.
He's not the clerk of the course.
No, he's run about like a headless chicken doing everything else.
Yeah.
As well.
The actual event stuff. So
riders were going to him and saying, I spoke to the clerk of the course. He didn't do anything about it. And he told me to go and see so-and-so.
Yeah.
And this isn't on.
Yeah.
But he's not even the clerk of the course. Mark Sandlund was the clerk of the course.
And he called it then, did he?
And then he said
that's enough, yeah.
Everyone was going to the wrong person. It was made clear at the writer's briefing who the clerk of the course was. I'm just saying that.
And it wasn't changed.
It wasn't changed. It never changed throughout the day. And the person who people thought was clerk of the course couldn't do anything about it because that's not his position. Although he did mention it to the clerk of the course.
Yeah.
And he then thought because no riders were coming to him, it mustn't be that bad.
So he's probably been like, oh, well, nobody said to me.
Nobody said to me. So
yeah,
I'll just wait.
Yeah.
And riders were going out. They were still racing. Nobody had a gun to their heads. And they were just doing their thing.
Yeah. So
eventually, Corey sometimes would come up to me in the commentary booth.
You know, I'd chat to you.
For me, chat or whatever. And after the gallery of the bike, Corey was on his way. The clerk, of course, Mark, was up with me, watching and having a look at the track conditions.
Yeah.
And seeing that there was a lot of spray off the back of the bikes on the warm-up lap.
From up in the thing, yeah.
Or on the 600 race, yeah. From up in the tower. Seeing there was a lot of spray, he said to me, flip, it's getting bad out there now.
Yeah. Man.
Corey came over with Kia. Kia had data from Corey's bike.
Yeah.
That he was aquaplaning. Corey was aquaplaning at over 100 mile an hour. Kia says, you have to look at this. Or someone has to listen to us. And Mark was like, whoa, hold on. So Corey says, it's unsafe. Kia says it's unsafe.
I wonder how that works, that it can tell that it's aquaplaning.
Spinning the back wheel.
Oh, right.
Your front wheel speed sensors.
So it's like spinning extra for the amount of speed that you're doing or spinning, something is how it's telling.
Yeah, it's spinning faster than the front wheel.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's how traction control works, like you can see. So he plugged it in, seen he was aquaplaning at this certain part of the track because they're using GPS as well.
Yeah.
And like, you don't need a computer to tell you you're aquaplaning.
Yeah, well, at least you then have the thing you can show to somebody and go, well, here it is. Like, you know.
So you had it there, you had it as proof. Mark didn't want to see it. He says, nope. Went straight down into the car.
Yeah.
Stopped the next race.
Yeah.
The next race was out in the warm up.
Yeah.
The warm up lap. Put it over the radio. Nope. Bring them boys in.
Yeah.
So the bike came back into the paddock. Mark went out on his track inspection in the car.
In the car, drive around.
Drove around, came straight back in, and that was it. Put an end to it.
Done. Yeah.
No. Just, no, can't race in this. It's too dangerous. Blah, blah, blah. Announced it over the tannoy. At no stage
did what I... What point in the day was this happening at?
It was...
You, like, nearly through most of the races? Like,
We had six races done.
Yeah.
And that was a super sport race that Corey fell off.
So
as soon as that happened, as soon as that was reported, the Clark, of course, went out, inspected the track, and said, no, you're right. This is unsafe. You know. So the whole thing, it was just people jumping on the bandwagon again.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were going to the wrong person, for starters. And they were posting about this person on social media, which wasn't even him.
Yeah.
You know, they were going... It's just... Same thing. People get a few beers in them when they get home and start shouting and roaring.
Yeah.
So Corey done the right thing. He went to the actual Clarker course.
Yep.
And he says, no problem. We'll go have a look. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the right thing that's happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking to report to the right person, and you know the sequence will then follow. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you weren't paying attention in the briefing and you don't know who the clerk of the course is, and you just see somebody who looks important and start giving off to them, you know, that's not really the way you're meant to go about it. But yeah.
So that was another thing that annoyed me. You know, especially when someone's not there. Before Corey came off on the sighting lap of the 600s, Jeremy McWilliams went out. Done his lap, you know, a warm-up lap.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the grid. He came straight back into pit lane.
He just said it was too bad then, or what?
Yeah. But he had his leather. The bike was wrong. He was in pit lane, just below me in the control tower. And the chairman of the Temple Club, he shouted over to McWilliams. Now, the chairman had his... headphones and all on, you know, because he was out on the track. Shouted over to McWilliams. McWilliams went like this, and pointed down.
Aye, signaling at the track surface.
He must have been, but
maybe thought he was talking about his bike.
His bike. If someone points down,
And they're sitting on the bike.
Yeah,
I get the mix up there.
They went ahead with the race.
Well, he's done the right thing there. You know, if you do like. Fair enough if you do one lap and then you know you come back around, you finish that lap and you think, fucking hell, look at this track here. You know, then you can come off, not do the race, and then say, no, you shouldn't be racing.
Yeah.
You can't do the warm-up lap, then do the whole fucking race, and then afterwards go, that was nuts, why they let us do that?
No.
You know, at the end of the day, you're responsible for yourself. Yeah. You know, everybody else, yes, has a part to play, but like you as an individual on the bike, if you think it's dangerous, you know, don't go out then. You know,
and at the same time, the throttle goes both ways.
Yeah.
Fair enough, the track conditions weren't ideal.
Yeah.
But the throttle goes both ways.
Yeah, once you have the information from going around the track that it's the track's not right, now the responsibility is on you too.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if you go out for one lap, come into a corner, and you get thrown right off the bike and you had no clue that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
But when you've went round and round and round and round, complained all day, and then continued to go round and round, and then, you know, you're not really in a position to give off about it anymore then, are you? Because you know full well the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
And you're just going, well, I'm just going to keep doing this and keep complaining. You know.
Right, if you put it like that.
Yeah.
You know, But if I think it did, it deteriorated that quick. And it was Corey then.
Yeah.
Corey, he was miles in front.
Yeah.
He was so far in front. And it just... He obviously...
It's unfortunate, like.
Yeah, it happened that quick. He couldn't save it. And,
yeah.
But see the restart of the 600 race. Because by the time Corey gathered himself up, the race began again.
Right.
When Corey went back to the awning. And by the time he brushed himself off and made his way over to us, the race, the 600 race was already nearly over again.
Uh-huh.
But see that young fella, Daniel Matheson. Holy shit balls.
What?
He did not give one good...
Oh, he was just sad in our life, was he?
He sent it.
Yeah.
The whole race. He rode round. Who did he ride round? I'm pretty sure it was Andrew Smith. He rode round the outside of Andrew Smith, where Corey had his crash.
Yeah.
Across the river.
Across the river.
It was a river that was flowing across the track.
Yeah.
Daniel Matheson just threw them over his shoulder and rode round the outside of Andrew Smith and Christian Elkin.
Yeah.
Christian Elkin, like, he raced in British Championships.
Yeah.
Northwest 200 winner. Tons of experience.
Yeah.
And Daniel, like, you listeners and viewers have probably never heard of Daniel Matheson, but he just made them look silly out there. I swear to God, absolute, he's another one for the future.
Yeah.
And he's only been racing a couple of years. He's a star, an absolute star.
What's he like in the dry? Like, do you think he was just... Was he just because he was going crazy in the wet and everybody didn't want to? Or is he good in the dry usually as well?
Well, there's... That might have been wet, to be fair. But no, he is. He was up there last year in the cup class. He was thereabout in the cup class, you know. So he's actually riding for LMLR team. But that's a 1:15 he was doing.
Uh-huh.
It might have been just damper, just started to rain, you know, during qualifying. But no, he held his own. He held his own. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Fair play. And I think it just annoyed me last night that the stick that people were putting on Facebook and the facts.
I know, but it's people.
There was no facts.
Yeah, people love it. People love it. Like,
yeah.
See, anybody that ever tries to do anything, whether you're running an event like this, you have a small business, whatever you're trying to do, everybody loves to shit on you. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Meanwhile, they're not doing anything. Like, you never see people on social media slobbering about what somebody else is trying to do or a business they've got or whatever that are actually doing well themselves. Like, you know what I mean? So, take it with a pinch of salt. Like, if that was me and I was being accused of being the clerk of the course and then everybody was talking shit about me on Facebook that night when I wasn't, you know, I'd be laughing at that. But obviously it annoys most people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just silly. Like, not everybody's opinion actually matters, like, especially when it comes to social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good and bad thing of it, is that everybody has a voice. That's the good thing. But the bad thing is everybody has a voice because, you know, not everybody should really have a platform to be able to speak to everybody online, you know, and post their opinions to the public, in my opinion. But
Twitter's good for
Twitter's
X or whatever you call it now.
Yeah, the problem is a couple of people start being negative and then everybody piles on.
Yeah.
Whenever a lot of those people would have never put anything on Facebook, but because there's stuff already up that's bad, but saying that it's bad, they'll jump on then. Do you know what I mean?
And then that post gets shared.
Yeah. And
someone copies the texts.
Yeah. Kind of is what it is, though, because after a week or two, kind of everybody's forgot about it, even if there is a bit of a shitstorm on Facebook. So.
That's true. And everyone and more will be racing next week.
Yeah.
The 30th of March and the 1st of April.
At?
30th of March at Bishop's Court again.
Yeah.
The 1st of April is at Curzon.
Yeah.
For the Easter weekend racing. And as you said, it'll all be forgot about.
Yeah, well, unless it happens again, like.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, unless it happens again. Well, it's a different story, like, if you have another mate and there's the same problem.
I know. If it happens again.
You can't really defend them again if it happens again.
Who races in April? Why are they racing in April?
Why are we racing in April?
June. What are they doing racing in June? Raining, so it is.
We'll just fit a whole season into the fucking July fortnight, sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll be grand.
Yeah. Out racing every day.
Yeah, we'll do like a Le Mans 24.
Yep. 14, 18 rounds.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No. Hopefully the Easter weekend will be good. Usually it's always good. I heard, actually, you all probably already know this, but Lee Bob Jackson is coming over to ride. I'm pretty sure, I don't know. Again, that was another rumour, but the rumour mill is rife at the minute. But Lee Bob Jackson, heard a couple of other names, you know, pretty big names, so... I think Lee Bob, he runs in the British Superbike Championship.
Mm-hmm. So kind of sounds like a country and western singer, doesn't it? Lee Bob Jackson. You can see him with like a big Bob beard and a cowboy hat and stuff.
Yeah.
Very good.
He doesn't look like a Lee Bob Jackson.
No, probably not.
A redneck coming to flipping.
Yeah, coming over from Tennessee.
Brilliant. No, but I'm looking forward to him being out. I'm looking forward to Andy Reid to see what he can do.
Yeah.
So Andy Reid, he's been out for a few years. I don't really know why. I think it's just injuries, and he had a few crashes. He was a British super sport rider and had a few crashes, and I think he just, a bit like myself, got fed up of it.
Yeah.
But going by his Instagram or whatever, he's training hard and he's working hard, so he's back at it and riding for JMC. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I'm hoping McWilliams is out.
Again. Yeah.
That'll be good. Corey will be there. Couple of riders aren't. Let's see. Obviously, the whole fleet of JMC will be there. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday, 30th of March. Isn't it? Is that Friday or Saturday?
Aye, the 29th is a Friday, I know, so...
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's definitely...
Yeah, definitely Saturday. Is on Saturday.
And the Monday at Kyrgyzstan. So, looking forward to that. Might try a live feed at Kyrgyzstan. I don't know.
What are you looking at me? Well, yeah, if we can get a data signal and everything, I'm sure there's no reason why not,
Well, you see, Kyrgyzstan has Wi-Fi.
They have that Wi-Fi box that's, underneath the commentary booth or something, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Sometimes
doesn't work.
Right? Sometimes it doesn't work. But
can you get a data signal there?
No. Because it's also nowhere.
Yeah.
Same with Bishop's Court. Bishop's Court don't have Wi-Fi. So that's the problem. I'm trying to find a Wi-Fi router or something. Not a Wi-Fi router, but a data signal router, sort of booster, sort of.
Yeah. See, that's the
wing-wham sort of thing.
Yeah. Because. People have asked, after Garth, because he's done, what was that race that you did the live stream the whole day? And people...
That was Kyrgyzstan, wasn't it?
Was it Kyrgyzstan?
The first time I ever done it was at the Carton.
Yeah, you did it at the Carton. The one where you had done it yourself on the commentary.
That was Kyrgyzstan, yeah.
That was Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah.
So people obviously like that. Even while you're at the track, it's good because you can... hear Garth better as well and stuff, and instead of listening to the LPA system or whatever. And then obviously if you can't make it to the race, problem being a lot of those places you do actually, believe it or not, need an internet connection to live stream onto YouTube. So if you can't get a data signal, you know, the way that the internet works is that it's all connected to each other. So if you don't have a data signal, you can't live stream. So it's pretty tough whenever you're in the asshole of nowhere at a track that you can't even really get a normal phone signal to do a live stream.
Yeah.
And then the way that, you know, big production companies do it is that they would have actually a satellite dish and they'd be beaming the signal from that. But then you're starting to get into something that's really expensive
Big money. I was looking up, you can get stuff.
Yeah, you can get stuff probably to help boost your signal, but if you're in a dead zone, I'm pretty sure if you're in a dead zone where you don't even have 3G or something.
Well, the tracks over here are ex World War airfields.
Yeah.
You would think you would have some sort of signal, but nothing.
Sure.
Absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. No. Obviously, it's a cool thing to be able to do. And it's
we'll figure something.
Yeah, people really liked it. That's why there hasn't been. That's why he hasn't been doing it all the time. He's not doing it because he can't be asked. It's because the limitations of the locations. Unfortunately, they're all very remote. The tracks.
Yeah, and it is very stressful to try and set up. That last time at Kyrgyzstan, I think I was trying to set up. Something happened. I can't remember. Or was it Bishop's Court? Might have been Bishop's Court because there's no signal. There's no Wi-Fi. No nothing. And I told you all I was going to do it. And on the day,
I can't even remember what happened that day, though.
Yeah, it ended up, there was no bloody signal at all.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. And it turns out you need a hell of a lot more equipment than what we have, which is very naive of me. So we are at the minute, you know, looking, not sponsorship, but advertising opportunities. If any businesses or whatnot want to come on, we will then at some point be able to live stream the racing from a different corner or from wherever.
Yeah.
And while it's being commentated on, obviously, live by myself and the times that come up. Let me see. Yeah, so the times that are the timekeepers put up on the screen in front of me. Hopefully, at some point, we will also be able to put that, you know, like MotoGP, like any sporting event, like any motorsport.
Oh, they've just got the times down the side.
So, we have a plan.
Is that not all shown on that Elapsed thing, anyway?
It is. So, but what we can do is copy the links.
Yeah.
For Elapsed. Not Elapsed. We call it another timing thing. It's another timing, live timing.
Yeah.
So, what we can do is copy it onto that so you can also watch the bikes go round the track where they are, and then we'll be able to film it and we'll be able to commentate on it while you're seeing all this. So
so
I don't know, it's going to cost big money, and the only way we're going to be able to do it is with help from others, because what we have at the minute, it was a lot more expensive than what I thought it was going to be. Like thousands of pounds worth of equipment, and we're only fit to record voices and, you know, and video record in the house at the minute. So we're going to need a lot more money, unfortunately, to do that. But we'll chip away. We'll get wee bits and pieces as it goes on. And I just don't want to spend a clean fortune on stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've already spent a clean fortune, and I'll just chip away. I don't want to spend all at once. So, but if anyone wants to come on board and give us a hand, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, indeed.
Indeedly do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so any help will be greatly appreciated. So, thanks very much, guys, for watching.
Yes, thank you.
And hopefully we'll do this again after the Easter weekend races. Mm-hmm. And we'll get a rundown and we'll get this out as quickly as we can. And don't forget to follow on Facebook, share our content.
Like and subscribe to the YouTube video as well.
Yeah.
If you're not already subscribed, I'd say most people that are listening are subscribed probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to share the video with your friends, it helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For us to keep doing this, you know, it's good to see feedback as well. Leave a comment. Any of the points we've discussed during this podcast, agree, disagree, let us know. So
yeah, and any ideas for us in the future, or what you want to see, or what you want to hear, or who you want to hear from.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Commentary Corner. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show and share this podcast with your friends.